Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and hotel. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I am your advocate, and I am your advisor, and I am your Maliwa. I am your mother, too. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to thank you for embarking upon another weekend with your Omi. That's right. This is a celebration, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get it twisted. We are celebrating Martin Luther King's Day, and we're celebrating the inauguration of our dear Obama. And we are also celebrating girls that are rising. And just where are girls rising? Where are they having their say and having the things they want their way? They're rising all over the nation, if you didn't notice it, and girls are taking their proper position because there's a new energy that is bringing in a wave for the feminine energy. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, when we read over the reading for this year, the oracle readings indicated that there was going to be a feminine energy, and it's here. It's here. That sign is here. We want to welcome our old friends and say Habari Ghani to our old friends. And we want to say what's up to our new friends. And come on in and have a seat. Our chat rooms are now open. If you'd like to go in and be a co-host in those chat rooms, you're certainly welcome to. We invite you to come and be a part of our discussion. We're celebrating because it's the King's birthday on the 21st of this month. And we're going to be celebrating our inauguration for our president as well. What a coincidence to have the king and the Lion King. That's right, Obama is a Leo, the Lion's King, on the stand, making his step towards history. And we are going to probably be viewing that all over the world. We'll be talking about it some more. On the 23rd, we'll come back to you again, and we'll be in the atmosphere with you. I like to borrow your airways right about now, and I will give them back to you in approximately 1 hour, if you don't mind. So thank you so very much, and let me do a little house cleaning before we get started. You know we have to go pay some bills, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. So stay tuned. We are winners, ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all ready? Say yes!
Thank you.
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we are moving on up. And our topic, if you haven't noticed it or not, is Girls Rising. Where are girls rising all over the nation? As you know, we have been talking about the topic of girls not being allowed to be educated. And we're also talking about the young girl marriages and those girls who are forced into arranged marriage. And they're not necessarily here in the United States, but they're abroad in third world countries. And we've been talking about a movement, and that's exactly what this is. Where Are Girls Rising is a movement. And there is a video and a theatrical movie that's actually being shown at the theater, and you can feature it in your neighborhood and in your hometown. We're featuring it here right in the state of Indiana, right here in Maryville, Indiana, and we're urging you to go out and buy your ticket. And there's a countdown, ladies and gentlemen. We must have our numbers in by an expiration date. And they're going to give me that date sometime this week, but I urge you to go and get your ticket. And if you're local here in Indiana or Illinois or by way of Milwaukee and those areas, we urge you to come out and see that movie. It's a movie about women in third world countries who have been suppressed and not allowed to attend school and are forced into marriages, and how they are now fighting back and getting their rights through going through the legal procedure. So that movie is going to be a great movie. We want you to join us for that movie. And that's going to be coming out, if I'm not mistaken, around May 6th, if I'm not mistaken on that date. And that's the same day they're going to be, well, the next day they'll be celebrating the National Movement for Women on that May 7th. So we'll be talking more about that in the future. But in the meantime, I want you to remember that we are going to have to be conscious of the fact that March is coming up, and that is a time when we're going to be inviting quite a few great women into this classroom. And today I have a treat for you. I do have a guest that is joining us today. She is from the Royal Priestly class, and she will be joining us to talk with you a little bit about our topic of Girls Rising. And we're going to also be talking a little bit about understanding Yoruba lifestyle and what it means to be Yoruba, and how can young people get more information on the Yoruba tribe. And as you know, I do call myself a tribe, Omi Inka 7 and the tribe. And people tend to look around and say, where are the tribe? Where's the people? And it's my ancestors, as you know. And I travel with them all the time. My very name means Omi Inka surrounds me. So the ancestors are with me. So why don't you join me and my co-host today as we go over to the throne of grace, and we are going to offer up a ritual and a prayer. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand to their feet. And first of all, I'd like to introduce you to my dear guest who's joining me today. And I'm going to ask her to participate by giving any names of ancestors that she would like to solicit. And our guest today is Mrs. Pope, Rakaya Pope. She comes to us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She is a student of the priesthood along with her husband, and she is by way from Chicago, Illinois. Mrs. Pope is a student of the priesthood, and she is also an avid person involved in the culture. And she's going to come today to give us more understanding of the culture and a traditional aspect of the culture, which is what I'm very interested in. Sometimes we can take things out of context so we don't have the traditional aspect. And I think it's very important to keep with tradition. But, you know, as our forefathers, they were traditionalists, and sometimes people want to break tradition. So today, within good order and good taste, we are going to do a prayer. And you know, normally I do prayers in Yoruba. Today, we're not going to do any prayers in Yoruba. I'm going to do a song a little bit later. But we are going to ask you to stand erect with your hands faced up as if you're in a position of receiving, as well as meditating. If some of you like to meditate, we know that that's a way to use behavior modification. God still can minister to you and through you. So if you'll stand with me today as we begin to do our prayer and petitioning God and asking God to assist us. And as you know, we believe in this room that we have ancestors that we commune with. We do not worship ancestors. And we also believe, that we are never going to die. And to put it quite blunt, a lot of people say, well, you believe in reincarnation. Yes, we do. We believe that we recycle ourselves through our children, that our elders, they go on to eldership and then on to ancestorship, and then they cycle themselves back through our children. So energy is a frequency. It cannot die. It continues to vibrate even into the ground. So we're going to call on our ancestors to ask them to join in the great circle, even if they're in the middle passage, even if they're traveling through the Red Sea, or if they may be out still in areas behind those trees. Come out from behind those trees, Harriet. We want you to join us. We are calling them because their energy is but a frequency, and they have never left us, and they're in the atmosphere. So let's stand erect today and stand to our feet as we begin to do our prayer, and we will pour libation. So if you'd like to do these things and follow the ritual, just follow and join right along with me. As you know, we try to make time for this because it's very vital that we teach our children how to keep tradition. And in keeping tradition, we will be pouring libation to our mother and father spirit. I like to pour libation to my mother spirit, Yamanja, and I say Ashe, Ashe. That's Clarimay Jenkins, my mother spirit. I like to pour libation to my father's spirit, O Batala, my father, Robert Jenkins, and I say, Ashe. I pour libation to the east, and I say, Oye, Oye, carry the wind that's beneath my feet. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Oye, carry the wind. I pour libation to the west. And I call on the great ancestors who might still be in the lagoon, who might still be in the Red Sea, and I say, Ashe. I like to pour libations to the north, and I say, Oye, carry the wind beneath our feet and over our heads, and I say, Ashe. And finally, I pour libations to the south. And I call those dear ancestors who yet may still be in the fields plowing. I call them to attention, and I say, come quickly, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call out your loved ones. They are still here present with you. They have not left. Call their names as we call out the names of our personal ancestors. But before we do that, we like to honor Oladulamare, who is our father and the god of this earth. But our personal god on our head is Ori. Ori will never leave you. Give homage and honor to Ori. Ori resides within your being today. And we pour libation to Oladulamare. And normally we do that first. However, out of order, we should do Oladulamare first. Ashe. I like to call on Harriet Tubman. I like to call on Nina Simone today. Will you be a witness, Nina Simone? Will you be a witness today, sweet Coretta King? I like to call on Dr. King. Today, Dr. King, it's your birthday we celebrate. We bring homage and we bring all sorts of accolades to you today and say, thank God, because a king was born one day. And because a king was born one day, now little children can no longer go outside of schoolhouses but integrate with other school children. But we also like to say that Dr. Martin Luther King, the dream that you once wanted us to keep alive, we're not only going to keep the dream alive, but we're going to keep dream makers out there in the community creating dreams that are coming to pass today. And we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your birthday one more day. And we like to call on all of those dream makers and ask them to come on in this house today as we make room for another king. Amen. And we'd like to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for going on that little journey with us, the talking cure. And as we do our libation, we know because of time we have to cut things short. And sometimes I can get very long-winded, and I don't want to do that. We want to get right into our topic. And I'd like to welcome all my guests out in the chat room. Let me call some of them out here. I think we got number Osundi. Okay, let's see here. Who do we have? We have the Eyes of the Universe. Hello, Eyes of the Universe. Okay. And we also have, okay, let me make sure I got this right. Okay, I think I just, Osundian. Okay, I probably badged that up a little bit. And we like to welcome those guests that are out there. And we say thank you so very much for joining us. Now, once again, our topic is on girls rising. And where are girls rising? And we're going to say a little bit about Dr. Martin Luther King, but I'm going to bring my guests on and ask her to give us a little bit more information about herself and to talk a little bit about the lifestyle of the Yoruba faith. And what is it to be Yoruba? And how does she become connected to Yoruba? And how has it made a difference in her life? I know Ifi will mend your broken heart. So we're going to bring on our guest today and ask her to talk to us a little bit about her journey in Ifa. And I bring you Mrs. Rakaida Pope. And I say thank you so very much for joining us, and I want to make sure her speakers are working here. Hello? Can you hear me, Ms.
Hello.
Pope?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and thank you so very much for joining us. And if you give the audience a little bit more about your journey towards Europe, a little bit about how you got involved in the African traditional faith.
Okay, I can do that. And I do want to acknowledge as well my ancestors and give an Ijuba to them, if that's okay. Do we have a minute for that?
Fine. Yes.
Okay. Ijuba to the lineage of Brown, Ijuba Mentor, Ijuba Houston, Ijuba Love Lady, Ijuba Davis, Ijuba to my Babalawo, Oluwa Ogumbayo, and his ancestral lineage, Ijuba to our senior priestess, Iaomitayo, and her lineage, Ase Adukwe, Epule Ia, and I also want to greet you as a priestess of Yimoja and say Omiyo, Ase.
Ashe.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do, as you stated, yeah, I am a student of the priesthood, so there is much that I'm still learning. So what I can speak to is I can definitely speak to what has drawn me to this particular tradition and what it has meant for me in my life. For myself, I've always had a very strong ancestral connection, and that's something that has always spoken to me. And in many of our faith traditions that we have, with Christianity, with Islam, I was raised Muslim as well, it did not speak to that part for me. It did not speak to that ancestral connection. And so when I learned of Yoruba, that was something that made the connection for me. And I felt very deep within myself that this is where I needed to be. Does that
explain? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to call you Rakai. Is it okay to call you Rakai or Rakaida? How do you like your name pronounced?
You can call me Rakaya.
Rakaya, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rakaya, I sense something very, very sweet in your spirit and in your mother's spirit. I identified with it immediately, a sweet spirit. Some of us are very, very old creatures, and we come here with us from birth, and they're with us. And I sensed that about you when I first spoke to you, that you have a certain way of doing things, and in being clear, to make yourself clear and understood, is more so important to you than anything else, and to be misunderstood could be a problem for you, because I know that it sounds like you strive so hard to get an understanding of the way of life of this thing called traditional African religion, where some of us take it or leave it, and we don't have a clue where the tradition comes in at. And I can appreciate you wanting to find the authenticity of this training, because it is truly, from my opinion, and a work of art, because it encompasses and involves everything in your life, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that's how we all should want to be immersed in religion, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Some people think, I'll pick it up on Sunday when I go to church on Sunday, then I'll lay it down Saturday through Monday and have myself a ball. But a way of life is how you do everything. It's your signature mark. And I picked that up from you immediately when I spoke to you, that you had a signature mark, and it was either going to be done that way or not at all, and that's good. Some of us, sometimes we become so tacky, we don't care. We'll take it, you know, halfway off the plate, part this and part that. But when you do something, you have to do it with all your might and strength. That's just how you serve God, with all your might and strength. And I sense that that's something that came from the ancestors with you.
I appreciate that very much, yeah, and I appreciate so much your wisdom and your intuition and your connection. I can see your connection with your mother, and I appreciate it so much. I have to say more duplicate. Thank you. Thank you for bringing your mother and bringing yourself. It just speaks to me in a whole different way, you know. It speaks to me in a whole different way. You know, when you can hear the shrine speaking with someone, it's just something that I appreciate very much. And I do want to speak to some of the things that you said. One of the things that you said is when you're seeking a faith tradition, you know, some of us may just pick it up and go on Sunday and then the rest of the week do whatever we're doing. And that's something people ask me from time to time, well, what's your religion? And I respond by saying, well, I don't really have a religion, but there is a tradition that I practice. And as you said, this being more of a way of life, and that's how I look at it. I look at it as something not like a religion that I can pick up and put down whenever I please, but as a tradition and as a way that you live your life. And that's something that's been very important to me, to understand how this is interwoven throughout every fiber of my life, and which drove me. And I have actually gone to a couple of different ELAs. And I finally got to where I am now, studying with a traditional priest from Nigeria that is here in America. When we have time, I would definitely like to give his information for anyone that does want to have that connection with a very traditional form of Ifa. And what I found is that when I was exposed to something that was just at its root, just raw, basic, this is what it is, it spoke to me in a completely different way than anything else in the Yoruba tradition that I had been presented with before. Some of the things that I had been presented with before, it seemed there was a lot of, well, let's make some things up as we go along if we don't know, you know. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am. You are so right.
You know, and some of those things that I may not have been in the tradition as long as other people were in the tradition, but for me and for my past, some of those things just didn't sit right for me. And I think I spoke to you earlier about just a lot of the hierarchy sometimes that is there. So for me, coming into the tradition brand new, I had to feel my way around, bump my head a couple of times. But I'm so happy that I've been able to find a home, and to find where my heart and my soul is peaceful, and just to be able to offer that to anyone that is looking at the tradition for the first time, that they don't have to bump their heads like that. They don't have to make those missteps.
Well, let me ask you a question, Lakaya. Two things I think I've been toying with for probably all of my life, is that those of us who don't have that luxury of going into non-Christian Judeo religions, you know, we automatically assume those positions because we're here in America. You were fortunate to go into Islam, so it's quite easy for you to make that transition into a non-popular religion. For me, it was kind of difficult to hide because I was an evangelist, and my spirit witnessed to the ancestorship because I've been communing with ancestors ever since I was 10 years old, and introduced to my parents as if they were ancestors, and had a shrine and kept all their belongings there, and I was still a bona fide, born again, preaching, teaching minister. And I had to conceal that and suppress it, and I didn't like that feeling because I felt like whoever we are as a spiritualist, we should be able to live that life and not have to suppress our culture and not have to suppress who we are as an African. And I felt like living two lives is difficult when you're trying to be African, and every day the African struggles with that. And literally I came to the conclusion that our lifestyle is one thing and our customs and tradition, but we join groups for other reasons. And I had to start looking at Christianity as a group, and I joined that because it was convenient to be connected to the community, to be connected to my next-door neighbor, and to be able to be in the struggle with them. But that was not necessarily where I spent my time spiritually. Ifa was where I spent my time in the prayer closet, or with women laboring in the word, and that was a different type of ministry for me. It was a stronger, higher power than the Christians care to go to that level. They just so I had to let them know I had to separate myself because you are just not spiritually at this level. And they would say, but you know, but that's unorthodox. That is taboo. That is fetish, you know, all these things. So I had to listen to this for a long time, and they said, well, how did you go all the way through ministerial school and then decide that you want to do this? I said, I went through ministerial school, people want me to do, but it wasn't where my spirit was. And do you ever feel that you want to convert the church and make them wake up and say, why can't you see that you're African and that your religion comes from your culture? And it has been my dream and my desire to do something like Ray Hagen has done, and that is to convert our African community into being African and to bring into the church things that are authentic and that are traditional African and that belongs to us, and not have to be ashamed of it, unapologetically ashamed. So do you feel me?
I do, yeah, I do. I do feel you, and I think that many more people are coming to an awareness of themselves and who they are and their ancestry, coming to an awareness of their ancestry. I think more people are coming to that awareness and to that understanding. At one time, I have to say, yes, I did feel like I did just want to point people in what I felt or what I thought was the right direction. That is not exactly my view right now, because I respect that everyone has their own destiny. And it may not, this is my personal view, and my personal view is it may not be for a certain person in their lifetime to walk this path. But for those that this is the path for them, when it comes to them, my understanding and my belief is when this comes to them, they'll see it. It'll speak to them in a certain way, and they will embrace it.
Well, don't you feel sometimes that there has to be a place where we can live out this customs and traditions so they can see the beauty of it? It is so,
definitely,
it's held so close in the home. that most people don't get a chance to glance at it or take a spectacle look at it to see the beauties and the wholeness of the healing, the ability to maintain a spiritual mind, body, soul, and also to bring those people back into balance and to know that this is what I've been lacking and this is what's wrong with me. And I wish that there was a way that it could be under a spectacle glass like most churches are, so people can see how it's lived out in church. Mm-hmm. However, it's done in the home, and that is probably why we have a lot of people that are ignorant to the fact of what traditions it has in it that have quality.
And that's very true, yeah. And with just looking at that, I'm not aware of how what that public picture would look like. But it's people like yourself, other people in the tradition that go out and do the work that they do in the community and that unapologetically share who they are and what their traditions are. You know, that is something that I see how things are going now. But I even have to look to my own family. I don't go in and preach to my family, you know, and everyone knows what I do. They know what my tradition is. But they've also seen my life, and they've seen how my life has developed. And so they ask me questions, well, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? What do you do? Because they see my life. And I am very straightforward and very open about my tradition. So it's it's those shining lights that we have everywhere that, to me, is going to illuminate the way for other people. Now, I do have members of my family that are in different faiths, mainly Christianity. But also what I know is that we're from the same lineage. So like you spoke to earlier with going to your prayer closet, you know, I see in my family things that are from our lineage and from our ancestry, you know, and different powers, if you will, that are expressing themselves. Now, a lot of times their traditions, well, their religions may not have a way of explaining those things. So, in particular, my sister has different powers that she expresses all the time, you know. And she's come to me and she's talked to me about those things, and I can explain those things to her, the way that that they're seen and the way that they are according to our tradition. And it's that openness of being able to not judge, you know, the path that someone else is on, but being able to openly share, and not even trying to persuade, but to share with them.
I hear exactly what you're saying here about the powers, and that is one of the tattletale signs of a person being spiritual, is that they have these abundance of gifts in areas, not only dreaming dreams, but interpreting dreams, being clairvoyant, clairaudio, being able to hear things that are not being said, and even going to the point of using mental telepathy and periodically using their energy. And I was in that category, and I could not feel comfortable in a Christian church all the time because some of those things were not fully accepted from a woman. So a lot of my gifts were laying dormant until I had an opportunity to realize how to name these gifts and where they fit in. So I found that it was very necessary for me to acknowledge the gifts of healing that I was being given and that was laying dormant. So I was called out of my profession to work in a hospital, and I wasn't credential. So I knew at that point ancestorship was real, and that mm-hmm. a large portion of us had these gifts, but we were suppressing our gifts because we were fearing what would happen in the church if we talked about spiritual things. And a lot of us were punished for many, many years for having these gifts or for even saying that we were close to being like Jesus, that we were healer. So you could not utilize all of these gifts you had, and you were somewhat not stirring up the gifts. And rather than separate myself from the church, I remained in the church, and I tried to carry on the life of an evangelist and as well, you know, to keep that membership so I wouldn't be dragging my children out, because I had brought them up in the church, and they had to have a church home, and we had to have some minister to bury us because there weren't enough Yoruba people to say, hey, let's go to a church. So I always believe that you need to be connected to a church home. And at the same time, I knew I needed my spiritual my spiritual head fed, so I had to go with my group to go and get spiritually fed and filled up. But at the same time, I, for the first time in my life, came publicly on these airways to tell people that I was an actual, I guess you would call it a self-appointed priest, and who had went on a journey, and who a great priest had pronounced me to be a self-directed priest who had went on a journey, and because of my journey, that that allowed me to become a priest, which I was confused. You know, how did they say, he said, don't worry about it. The journey itself, I was foretold you would go on, and this journey has allowed you to go through the things that a priest must go through. So at the same time, I had to be obedient to this gentleman and sit on his feet to understand. Here I was coming straight out of ministerial school, sitting up under a priest's feet. Now, most pastors would like for me to forget that and ignore it. Now you're in the church with us, and, you know, you don't want to tell people you're a priest as if I should be ashamed of it. And I constantly say unapologetically ashamed, because your blackness comes first, and you must acknowledge that first, and you must acknowledge your culture and your customs. So I often wonder, what are some of the other people whose eyes are open now and who can clearly see with their third eye, what are they doing and how are they maintaining and how are they getting out of this cocoon, because they're stuck, and a lot of them are stuck, and they cannot fully act and utilize those gifts because they are somewhat, I guess you would say, they are stagnant in a sleep where they can't go forward. And I was there for a long time in a Christian church, and I told the church that I've joined now that, you know, I am Yoruba. And if you say you practice an African belief system, you must accept that. And I shouldn't have to make any apologies to pay membership here or be a part of your church, because literally I'm coming to bring good tidings. I'm not coming to convert again and stay in this madness. And as you grow and become stronger, you will get a better understanding of who you are as God too. And a lot of people have a problem with calling themselves God. How do you feel about that?
I really can relate to what you're saying, and I feel that I experienced quite a bit of that myself. Even though I was raised under Islam, I still felt some shame, and I think that's the best way that I can describe it. I felt some shame about feeling the ancestral connection and about having a connection with that, you know, unspoken side that people would describe as demonic or say it's witchcraft, things that you shouldn't be doing. And like I said, I think a lot of that for me was shame. And when I came to understand that I was not alone in the things that I felt and in the things that I experienced, and that there were many more people that had these types of experiences, and that there was a tradition that that my tradition, my ancestral tradition, that honored these gifts and honored these things, that was something that opened the door for me. And I was allowed at that time to no longer have that shame. And when I can put that down and say, well, I'm not weird, I'm not some type of outcast because of the experiences that I have, then I was able to embrace who I was and accept who I was and open up to embrace this tradition a lot more. So I think for me, it was just a lot of that shame and feeling that I was doing something wrong or that no one understood what I was dealing with and what I was going through. And I think that may be something that's very, maybe very key or very important for many other people as well that do have that ancestral connection, is that it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Can you tell me what is it like for you when you are in the presence of your ancestors? What is it like for you power wise? And when you get up from that meditation, what is it like for you when you go out into the world to face the world with their ever so cumbersome lives? Do you feel like at that particular point that Ifa will open the way for you? And do you feel ancestors have opened doors for you?
Open doors in what sense?
In the
other part of life?
In the other part of life, whereas
okay.
things may have been closed for you, they have set in synchronicity. May things occur or to create different scenarios so that you would have a leadway into your path so that you could get on your path.
I definitely feel that things have lined up perfectly the way that they should. You know, I wouldn't have been able to tell that on my journey and along the way. But in learning to understand Ifa better and learning to trust Ifa better, if there are things that are going on in my life that I may be unclear about or unsure about or don't know what to do or how to handle it, I have divination, you know, which is something that I didn't have an understanding of before either. So,
do you feel that divination is something that all Africans should have access to so they can get a clear picture of what may be wrong in their life or even for the inauguration that a reading be done to give direction for our great president?
That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? if they were actually able to have the direction and to follow it, you know. But I think that
what is your gut feeling? Give me your gut feeling because your first feeling is from the spirit. What is your gut feeling from an energy perspective? Because we as students of the priesthood, we have this ability to see into the lives of those we care about. What is your gut feeling if you had to give an energy reading of what you see our economy doing and what you see this energy for the feminine spirit? What do you see in your own opinion of how women are going to change the course of this earth?
Well, I think that's something that, you know, and I'm not certain what perspective as far as, like, reading energy into the situation, but just giving you my gut feeling on the feminine energy, it's something that I think a lot of us are still coming to understand ourselves. It's something that I have to say that I'm still even coming to understand better, you know, my own feminine energy and connection and the power there. I think it's something that's asleep in many of our women. And this is